So he wanted one where I would like stand on a donut and like smush a donut with my feet. And then like put my foot to the camera and like pretend that he was like licking the donut from my feet. It gets weirder, don't worry.
Oh yeah.
Do you like it?
Have fun, stay safe, and always get consent.
Two Night Stand, baby.
Hello. Welcome back to Two Night Stand. I'm Jake.
And I'm Bella. And today we have...
I'm Rue.
This is Rue. And we're on to the... Where are we?
This is... Episode
4, I think.
Five. Yes.
So yeah, we'd
Teddy's four.
So we've gone through the LGBT spectrum, and now we're kind of venturing into the plus. Obviously, it's a huge spectrum of people, but our friend Rue is non-binary. So we were like, let's have them on and talk to them about their experience, because I know that a lot of people do identify themselves as like not having a gender or have it being on more of like the queer spectrum. So we were just like, let's just have a chat about it and just see what it's like, because obviously we have no idea. I don't think I could ever imagine not... I know what it's like to be attracted to two different genders, but not to feel like I'm two different genders or on a spectrum.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So what would you kind of say that non-binary is?
I think that really depends person to person. For some people, it's the absence of gender. For some people, it's being not both genders, but like another gender in between, if you think of it as a spectrum. For some people, it's not really wanting to think about gender at all and putting it out of their kind of mind and going, this is who I am. Male or female isn't important, or are both important.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I feel like gender isn't really a massively important thing. It's just in the language that we speak, because like, for example, if you speak French, everything's gendered.
Yeah.
And think some things are ungendered completely. So like, if you say a pen is a she.
Yeah.
Or like I think a textbook is a he. Like, it's like, I think it's really only the English language.
Never understood that, but that was terrible at languages. I got you in German. So
I think it's only the English language where they refer to people as genders.
I mean, we do gender some things though, like we call ships she, people call cars she. Just that we don't have it built into the nouns of our language. But you do it, you just don't think about it. Like we do gender some objects.
Yeah, it's like it's such a strange thing, because like people say that being non-binary has only come about in the last couple of years. But if you actually go back into Greek mythology, there was a lot of non-binary people. There's a lot of tribes and indigenous people around the world where they don't actually recognize gender at all, which is something that I looked into, and I was like, that's actually mental, that like people think it's just like a westernized culture thing, but it's actually been around forever. There's a lot of tribes and stuff like that. I think there's one specifically in like Midwest Africa, and nobody's gendered at all. Like, it's all just like people who can give birth and people who can't.
There's loads of cultures that still have it in like Native American is the word I'm looking for. They have a two-spirit, which is like a third gender that they have there. Indian cultures have it as well. There's been a lot of talk about actually how the gender binary of male and female comes from colonialism. Like, it's very much the white people went out and put their culture out and went, no, you're male or female, and took away a lot of the other genders. Some cultures have three, some have five, some have an endless amount of genders. They're just not as recognized as the male and female are in the spaces that we exist in.
Yeah, definitely. I think people forget about different places all around the world. It's like talking about any sort of like issue, or it's not even an issue, but anything that's different, as we always say, it's either a sex thing or people are have something bad to say about it because it's not what they're used to. And that's what we kind of wanted to obviously chat about with this, is like talking about your experience and your relationships and sexual relationships and, you know, your own experience in those sorts of feelings. So like, when did you come out as non-binary?
So I came out during lockdown. Mm-hmm. So I'd started doing sex work, and I started, you know, as presenting as female, going by she, her pronouns, hadn't really put that much thought into it. But gender had been something that I had thought about a lot in the past. Mm-hmm. And it had always been on my mind of, is this, you know, am I a girl? Do I want to transition? Where do I fit into this? I'd been quite androgynous for a bit and then kind of went hyperfemme. And then just during lockdown, I think I was exposed to a lot more non-binary people. Mm-hmm. I became mutuals with them online. I spoke to a lot of them. And I just kind of had the time to sit and think about it. Mm. And actually, it really happened in like one day. I just decided, oh, this is the day I'm gonna think about this. It's been on my mind. I'm gonna sit and think of it. And by the end of the day, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, this is me. This is where we're at. And I was lucky though. I had a very easy kind of coming out as non-binary. I'd come out as bisexual like 10 years before. So,
yeah.
I wasn't new to queer spaces. I have a very queer friendship group. I pretty much only have queer friends. So I just kind of like, hey. Yeah. This is what I've been thinking about. I'm non-binary. At first, I wasn't sure about pronouns. I was like, I'm not sure where I stand at the moment. I might change my mind in the future. This is where I'm at. And they were all like super happy for me. Yeah. Super, super supportive. So I was lucky. A lot of people don't have that same experience that I did, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of people, like, what do you reckon it is? Because you said that, you know, you've always felt that way since you were a kid. And, you know, you said that you had like a very big kind of like queer space that you fit into. Do you feel like, what would you say to people who said that, oh, that they're the people that have influenced you? Like, would you say that, because, you know, that's what most people go to, isn't it? Mm. It's like, if you're in a queer space, they're like, oh, obviously someone's influenced you to do that. Like,
I think people that say that have misunderstood influence versus like exposure to things, right?
Yeah.
Like, nobody can influence you to be a certain gender, right? But they can expose you to what being that gender and living that lifestyle is like for them, right?
Yeah.
You're just aware of different things and different people and the way people live. Mm. It's not an influence. It's, this is now an option available to you that you might not have known before. You might not have known that people live full, very happy lives like that.
Yeah.
You just thought, oh, I'm in my head about this. I'm the only one who feels this way. It's, yeah, I think people who think that have just misunderstood the point completely.
Mm. Definitely. I've never actually, like, I've always tried to explain it, but never been able to put my head on, a nail on the head of it, because I've been like, because people say it all the time, like, obviously, due to the nature and you being a dominatrix previously, people will like assume that your kids will be influenced to do the same job that I do, for example, when actually, the exposure may make them aware that sex exists and that porn exists, but it's not going to make them want to do it.
No.
That's literally like what I've been, the way that I've been trying to explain it to people, especially with this series as well. We've had a lot of stuff. We even know people who have that mindset. So it's just kind of like, exactly why we're talking about it.
100%. Exactly. 100%.
You look a bit lost today.
Huh?
You look a bit lost.
That might have something to do with the stag do that I've just come back from. I've just been on a 3-day
stag do
bender, and my brain is just all over the place. I'm warming myself into it. I'm just going to, I should have had a coffee, to be honest, but we'll be back in.
Jake's still hungover because he's 30.
Yeah.
But it's fine. I'll carry this episode. So where are you from?
So I'm from the UK, but my mum is Chinese Guyanese.
Yes.
Which I will explain, because people misunderstand this a lot. It's not that she's half Chinese and half Guyanese. Mm. It's that Guyana, which is a Caribbean country, but it's mainland South America, is made up of lots of different populations. There's a Black Caribbean population, there's an Indian population, and there's a Chinese population.
Mm.
And my mum, both of her parents are Chinese Guyanese.
Oh, interesting. Do you still speak to your mum?
Yeah, I speak to my mum.
Does she know about you being non-binary?
So I've never come out to my mum as non-binary, not because I worry that she, not because I think she would disown me, she absolutely wouldn't. Mm. Not because I'm worried about that in any sense, just because it would be really exhausting to explain to her. My brother and sister both know I came out to them. My sister talks about it in front of my mum a lot. My mum just seems oblivious.
Just straight out of her head.
Yeah.
Like, I guess because it is just one of those things, like when you say they, them, you could literally be talking about anyone. I think people forget this loads because like they were like, well, like just the way that they'll put it in sentences, and then they just don't realize that they're actually doing exactly what you want them to do. So you have to sort it there. So they, them.
People think that using they, them as a singular pronoun is brand new and groundbreaking. Everybody does it all of the time.
Yeah.
You just don't realize it.
Yeah.
And it's quite funny to, I find it actually just find it funny to argue this with people now. Because
I'm when you did have your online presence, because you still got a bit of an online presence, haven't you?
I'm online. I exist. All my stuff is still there. I just don't post anything new at the moment.
Yeah. So do you get a lot of like hate online or anything like that?
I actually got more racism than I ever got transphobia. I'd get some comments, but nothing actually that bad. I was quite lucky with it. I don't know if part of that is because I'm still pretty femme presenting, and so I don't kind of set off alarm bells for people aren't that confused. And also I think there's this like assumption that for a lot of people that non-binary is just like woman light, especially with AFAB non-binary people, which is not a term that I love to use, but,
what's AFAB non-binary?
So AFAB is assigned female at birth. Okay. And then the counter would be assigned male at birth.
Mm-hmm.
Those are phrases that are useful like medically and stuff, but actually I wouldn't go around saying that I'm an AFAB non-binary person, because that just
I'm real and I'm like, AFAB non-binary.
What's the point?
It's just like Johnny and his hi, I'm Johnny and I'm a twink.
What did I say? Top. Hi, I'm Johnny and I'm a top.
Like, I think people feel like they need to know with things like this. It's like, well, I need to know everything about it so I can't offend you, which we spoke very briefly about the fact that not much actually offends you. We've known Rue for a very long time. And you know, we've all of us that do know them do fuck up. Like we do misgender you sometimes, and you know, it makes us feel awful. Jake
initially a lot, Rue, wasn't it?
Jake flaps quite a bit when I first started working with him.
Me and Rue have been friends and colleagues for many a years, and I think it was that, especially first 6 months of the first year, I always kept making this mistake, and I always apologized. But and I think that was, as you picked up on it at the start there, I think the hardest thing for me was, if I think of the whole LGBTQ community, for me was just the full understanding of it. And I know we've had lots of conversations about it in the past.
I think with misgendering, a lot of it is, for me especially, it comes down to intention, right? I know that you were never intentionally trying to misgender me. You were not trying to be malicious or offend me. You just, I'm assuming, hadn't known a non-binary person before, right?
Very much that.
So you were new to it, and that's okay. Like, it's a new thing that you're experiencing. We all are new to things and have to learn, right? But your intention was that you knew I was non-binary and you knew my pronouns.
Yeah.
You just sometimes use she, right? And that doesn't bother me. If you had been like, oh, I don't believe in non-binary people, that's not real, you're talking shit, and then started calling me shit, I'd be like, well, fuck you.
We probably wouldn't have gone very well.
Probably wouldn't be here right now. But yeah, it's very much intention, I think, is important.
We said the same thing in the Johnny episode when he was talking about gay slurs and stuff like that. And even lesbians, we said it with Harley as well. I think what people forget is that, like, so especially the internet, people who are chronically online, they are so quick to come for people when the person themselves don't really care that much. Like, and it happens quite a lot. Like, you know, there were so many things, for example, that we said in Johnny's episode where he's been my best friend for over 15 years, that I was like, oh my God, if that went online, like, they're going to be like, oh my God, you're homophobic. Like, you know, so we were like, I think it's hard when you're friends with people and like somebody was to see us like misgendering you, you know, it would just be like, oh my God, these people are just so incompetent.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I can't even...
Yeah, I think one thing, it was probably more recently, actually, I think, because obviously we've got like group chats, and I know we've got our group chat with our accountants and stuff. Mm. And I know Chris and I have both obviously advised them, obviously, that you're a non-binary person, etc. And then obviously I've seen it firsthand that is just very quickly forgotten in the group chats and how they obviously use the she, her pronouns of yourself. And I guess, do you find that, I know you've just touched on it, but I guess like just with people in general being out in public, is there just a real miseducation and a real unawareness within the UK at the moment in terms of non-binary, and should there be more happening?
I think that's a difficult question to answer, really, because, you know, if I'm out and about in the world, I'm fairly femme presenting. I'm less femme presenting than I used to be, but I'm still pretty femme presenting, right? Mm. Other queer people might clock me and be like, yeah, okay, but the most people probably not.
Mm.
If someone calls me she or is like, here you go, ma'am, or whatever, I'm not going to be offended by that.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know these people. I'm probably never going to interact with them again.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stand around and give them a lecture on gender, right? That's That's not helpful for anyone in the interactions.
No.
And, you know, I think to a certain extent, there are things that we can do. We can stop saying ladies and gentlemen when addressing a room, mm-hmm. right? That's an easy thing that we can change to just like, hello, everyone.
I used to hate that anyway. It used to make me feel so, like, especially being a kid. Like when the teachers would be like, ladies and gentlemen, and I'd be like, I'm literally a child.
Yeah. I am 6 years old.
Yeah, I'd be like, sorry.
Yeah.
Like, no.
I was introduced to a much better introduction. I think it was local landlords of our pub back in Southampton.
It's a pub.
Obviously, yeah. When we were much younger, they were a gay couple that run the pub and restaurant, and they did like a big like meat draw at the end of the evening, blah, blah.
Of course it was a meat
draw. He would always launch it, and he would be like, ladies, gentlemen, and those that aren't quite sure. But that was probably 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Mm. And I think, like, I remember my dad commenting on it and things like that, but...
But even that, right, I am sure.
Yeah.
So, like, even that, I am sure that I'm non-binary. It's not that I'm unsure that I'm...
Yeah.
But I think that's...
I know what you mean. Yeah. 10 years ago, that's huge.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
I think it's just a general misconception, because I think people do it with bisexual people as well.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's because you don't know. You don't know whether what you like, absolutely. And you don't know what you want, and then they assume that you're mentally ill. Which, like, obviously it can be two different things that could come together. Like, you could be mentally ill, fair enough, but, like, you could also be non-binary at the same time, or be bisexual, or be, you know, like, I think people find it very hard to not look just linear and absolutely. Just, like, it's very black and white thinking. It's like, so you're either this or you're either this. And it just, some people just doesn't make any sense. Have you ever had it in the LGBT community itself, anyone saying, giving you any sort of like shit for it?
So actually, no, I haven't. I am very privileged in the queer spaces that I exist in, and I'm very aware of that. I have very supportive queer friends. I think part of that is that it's part of the kink community that I found all these friends. So there's an understanding of like consent and people being into things that you're not into, and people living lifestyles that you don't live. But that's not obviously completely blanket true of that of either of those communities. So I've been very fortunate that I kind of came out and people were like, yeah, cool.
Yeah. I want to talk about the kink community.
We can talk about the kink community.
I remember you telling me what you're into when we were in Ibiza.
I don't remember telling you what I was into in Ibiza.
So picture this, right? We're all sitting on a balcony. I'd met these people for the first time. It's me, Rue, couple of other people I just met. We're all sitting there talking about what we're into. Rue just comes out with whatever they're going to come out with right now, and we all go,
putting Rue on the spot.
Really?
I mean, I did do it to myself.
No, but then it all started pouring out. Everyone started saying what they were into, and we were all just like having this proper moment on a balcony in Ibiza. So you're part of like online communities of people who are into fetish and stuff like that. You used to be a dom yourself.
I did.
And you're very good at it.
Thank you.
So was it more like an online persona, or you're a dom in real life?
So I'm actually not a dom in real life. I'm very much the opposite of that in real life. So I have been in the kink community in London for on and off for 10 years. I go to events, I know a lot of people, and I love it. But I didn't enter it as a dom. I've never been a dom in my personal life.
Yeah,
that was something that kind of happened by accident. Online, and I then kind of loved it doing it as professionally, right?
Yeah,
quote unquote professionally. Part of that was because I think I knew what it was like to be on the other side. I knew what it was like to be the sub. So I kind of knew what those people needed from me.
Yeah.
And also it separated my personal sex life from my work sex life.
Well, you always find that, and this is a bit of an industry secret, is that most people who are submissive are CEOs or people who have a lot of responsibility in their life, or feel like they have, you know, a lot to work with on their out of life, and it's more like a kind of letting go situation. A lot of people are just like, it's because you have daddy issues as a woman. It's just like, you know what, there are more sub men out there than there are women. Have you got any experiences that you want to talk to us about any subs that you've had?
I've had quite a breadth of subs, I think. I used to get a lot of people coming to me for quite specific kink stuff. Obviously the strap-on, I say obviously, people who don't know, the strap-on stuff is what it is. You've seen it. That's kind of what I became known for, I guess, was doing content with my strap-on. So I get a lot of people coming to me wanting to explore that. Some of them would be people that were like, I think I might be bisexual, but I don't know that. And but I do want to say that, like, that's not true of all men that like anal stuff at
there
all.
Are so many men who come to me and they'll say, have you got any strap-on stuff, have you got any guys doing this and this, and I'm like, no. And then they're like, but they will say, yeah, I think I'm bisexual, and I'm like, well, you don't have to be. Like, if you've got a pretty woman on the end of the plastic,
it's fine,
like, it's fine. Like, you're all good. And then they're like, really? Oh, that's good. And especially because where I give sex advice on TikTok as well, people come subscribe to my OnlyFans to ask me questions. Which I have a cameo for that now. If you want to ask for a cameo
again.
Instead
right
of
here with the
subscribing and seeing me naked, you can. The cameo link is in my link tree on my Instagram, so you can go there. We'll pop it down below. But yeah, if you just want to ask me advice and you don't want to see me naked, you can go to Cameo instead, because I'll happily give you advice. But yeah,
you can do hand bras.
You can do hand bras on Cameo. Yeah,
it's at the limit.
Yeah.
So I had this meeting with them, and they were like, they're like, yeah, you can do everything but get naked, but you can do hand bras. And Jake's sitting there like, hand bras? Hand bras. And I went, what, like
Jake,
this?
You should have known what a hand bra is. Come on.
Bro's been
every
working with OnlyFans
day.
Girls
yeah.
for like 5 years.
It's not like you're brand new to this.
A hand bra? Jake's one of those people that subscribes to an OnlyFans and then goes, hey, can I see a hand bra, please?
What? No, I was just like, can I sell them?
Can I exploit her to
sell more? How can I make this into a business?
Anyway, so where were we? Yeah, do you have any like specific stories or anything? Like any weird ones that you can think of off the top of your head?
I had one guy that seemed to have like a lot of different fetishes.
Yeah.
But all very specific. So he wanted one where I would like stand on a donut. And like smush a donut with my feet, and then like put my foot to the camera and like pretend that he was like licking the donut from my feet. It gets weirder, don't worry. Okay. And then he wanted me to wrap my feet with the donut still on it in cling film.
Okay.
So that it would like get sweaty.
Right.
And then I posted the like donut.
I reckon he ate it like, you know, when you're a kid and you'd eat a cupcake packet and
yeah, like,
suck it all out.
Like licking it.
Okay, maybe it was just weird kids that did that. But you know when you'd eat a cupcake and it would be like,
yeah,
You smush it in the paper, then chew the paper.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever done that.
Just us? Okay.
I bet he pinned like little holes in it and was like,
I reckon he just had a really bad working experience at Krispy Kreme. He was like, yeah, get that donut.
Or his boss and him used to work at Krispy Kreme, and then literally like she accidentally stood on one once and then was like, can you lick it off?
Yeah,
like, bitch. And he loved it. I don't know, it's smushing fetish or something, isn't it? I used to have a guy who had a giantess fetish. Did you get those?
I actually never got giantess stuff, weirdly.
But all I could think about, people would be like, oh, I just want to see you like little people running up your legs, and like, what would you do if like those? But he would always try and like never pay me for the sexting.
Right, yeah.
But he would, but I'm like, I know what you're doing.
But
what are you just, what would you do though? And I'm like, all I'm thinking about is the little soldiers from Night at the Museum.
I'm just thinking this guy's going to have an absolute field day of Gulliver's Travels. He just sit there just going ham on it.
Nah, I think he likes big women. They like big women. Because do you remember there was that trend on TikTok where, because there's so many trends on TikTok where people are like, not everything's a fetish. Yes, it is.
Everything's a fetish.
Everything that women, everything that women do is a fetish somehow. Me just doing this in my hair,
yeah,
that's a fetish.
Yeah, we learned a lot about this, didn't we?
Yeah, we did a whole episode on fetishes.
Quicksand,
mad.
The sun.
Yeah, but we never actually had a Dom on here. So I'm like, okay, I understand this is whole LGBT, but I do love the experience of having that.
Just one more, how would you cater for that on OnlyFans?
What?
Like, as you said, like the giant ass fetish.
You put the camera right down below.
Yeah.
And then you look like a giant.
Then you buy like the little cutlery.
And then
like,
you go, you're so tiny.
You don't need props. You could have props.
Yeah. If they want to buy you some props.
You could buy this like tiny little like kitchens and then you could do like a cooking show. Oh no, I destroyed my kitchen.
Just like,
oh, no, it's tiny people.
We are not kink shaming, by the way. No. This is brainstorming.
No, they're watching this like, say more. Say more.
Yeah.
I'm like, say less.
We're going to have to clip this. We could actually sell this later. This is perfect.
Your strap on's huge.
I do.
Explicitly remember seeing a photo like, oh my lord. But I think even. Like, yeah, because I remember you being in the industry and being quite femme presenting, but you still had edge. And that's the thing. For me, as someone who's always been in queer spaces anyway as well, I could kind of tell. And then when I first met you, I was like, what are you?
Yeah.
Like,
queer people don't meet me and go, you're straight. Like, yeah. That's not happened to me before.
I think it was actually at the airport. I was like, what do you associate with? but yeah. But, mate, I'm actually just thinking about the giant test fish. That's all I can think about.
That or is it the giant strap-on? Because you keep coming back to it.
I should have brought my strap-on collection.
Did the giant strap-on come into giant test?
I mean, it could.
It can, yeah. Just like, look it.
That's exactly how I used to do all my videos.
Yeah.
Little bitch. I can't.
Broken Luke.
That's the thing though, is that like, I don't know, it's funny. Can you see the lights on 69%?
Right, there's the idea. Back in the room.
Okay, I'm back.
So going back to non-binary, trying to bring this podcast back in from giant strap-ons and tiny cutlery.
Our first date when I bought that little fork from that place. Where did we get that? And where, I don't know, I've got this little fork.
What is happening?
Yeah, are you just about to expose me?
Yes, right there. yeah, sorry, please ask your question. I'm just losing my shit. I've been awake since 5 a.m. Yeah.
What was my question? we've asked everyone so far.
I think we should just turn it on and said, you're the host now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just dom you into this podcast, right?
Can you do your best dom impression?
Sure. Give me something to say.
Okay, so I am a 24-year-old male.
Mm-hmm.
I have a fetish for women's assholes.
Mm-hmm.
However, I don't want to be able to touch you, but I need to be put in my place because I keep trying.
Okay.
I'm scared.
Action.
You being a good boy. Yeah. You get down on your knees.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to look at my arsehole, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're going to put your tongue out for me like a good little boy. And I'm going to get my arsehole nice and close to you. But you're not going to touch me, are you?
Yes, I am.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
I'm dying. That was sick.
I'm so glad you weren't looking at me when you did all that.
I knew I'd break you if I looked at you, Jake.
Wow, this is what Jake's into. Cross your legs, just in case. Might be able to see on camera. That was actually sick. That was well good.
That's my reprise. I've not done it for many years.
I had a question.
Yeah, go on. What's the question?
I got one.
Me and my friend are sitting here.
Yeah.
We're having a good time.
What was the question was, we've asked everyone so far in terms of, because again, I did touch on it a little bit, but we didn't really get to the bottom in terms of like, so in terms of like the non-binary community, is there much going on at the moment to push this out to the masses? Because I think out of every sort of part of the spectrum in terms of LGBTQ, the one that I see still talked about the most and actually getting a lot of hate online, especially TikTok that I see, is all to do with the non-binary labels. I think I saw something in Florida recently that they're not going to be recognizing pronouns or something like that. So that feels like it's almost going backwards again.
But if they don't recognize pronouns, then what the fuck are they going to refer to people as?
Yeah, honestly, people don't understand the concept of pronouns, really.
Florida is like, even Americans think Florida is the worst state, and that's bold. Like, that is so bold, because they're like, because they've done the same with trans people, haven't they?
So non-binary comes under the trans umbrella, right?
Yeah.
It's not all non-binary people would refer to themselves as trans, and that's completely valid. I do consider myself trans. In that I'm not cis, right?
Yeah.
I'm not the gender that I was assigned at birth.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because like I see a lot of non-binary content, right? Yeah. I know a lot of non-binary people. When I'm on TikTok or whatever,
yeah,
I see lots of trans people. I see lots of non-binary people because I exist in that space. And it's difficult with the way that the internet works to push these out to spaces where it doesn't exist.
Yeah. No, because you find with TikTok, you do just get stuck in the same. Like, I've been stuck on lesbian TikTok for like since I started.
Mm.
And I'm like, how? I'm literally almost married now to a man. So
are you still showing me lesbians?
I don't want these lesbian thirst traps. Leave me alone. But yeah, it's like.
Very sus.
But when you try and get. It's like when you try and get stuff pushed out, it's like I see sex workers all the time on TikTok. And I'm like, I don't want that. Like, yeah. Even though I post that sort of thing on some of my accounts, like, oh, I have four different For You pages on TikTok. Well, I have like seven accounts, but I watch four because I have all different. So I have an ADHD For You page. So when I want to find out some more about my diagnosis, I'll go on that. I have one which is just like exclusively thirst traps of people. And I'm like, okay, if I feel like looking at some pretty people today, like not in a bad way, like I love thirst traps for like ideas.
I was gonna say the inspiration. Yeah, you need to be looking those.
And then I have one that is all very feminism. Like it's all feminism, all talking about issues, and I can't watch it for too long because my brain explodes because I start worrying about everyone in the whole universe.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, but what about these people? Like this girl's like going through it. And I'm like, I can't. And then I feel like I need to go over to the thirst traps to go and watch some pretty people again. And then
a thirst trap cleanser. Yeah.
And then I have the sex worker ones where they're all like the cringe talk ones where they're like, I want to use your rod.
I'm so glad I don't get those.
Yeah, I get some of them. I have one For You page exclusive for that. But I think it's because it's my friend, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah.
I've mainly just got bottle flipping, to be honest.
He's got such a straight white man.
That's the most like boy thing. Yeah.
It's like here's a clip of Inglourious Basterds, and then it's just like, and here's a bottle flip. And then you're like, yeah.
Do you also get like fast cars and shit?
Oh yeah, well,
yeah. There we go.
Yeah, it's just a mix of fast cars, M&M, and bottle flipping.
All that.
Hi, I'm Jake, and I'm a straight white man.
Jake runs the Two Night podcast TikTok.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And so I've got logged in and I'm like, I'm not gonna have a look at the For You page. Black men, it's all black men thirst trapping. And I'm like, you wanna tell me something?
Got something to say here?
I have no idea how that got there.
I don't know what you've been looking at. Maybe it was me. Maybe I was like,
because I look so guilty as well. I was like,
sheepishly in the corner. Like,
yeah. No. Like, I don't know how it got out. I'm like, well, you had to like something.
Yeah, you looked at something.
I was doing research for the Johnny episode. That's what
Yeah, some people are so beautiful on TikTok though. Mm. I wish I could just be one of those people that
you
was
are
just
one of those people.
No, but you know the people that just can literally just lip sync and then they're like, I'm blonde and skinny and pretty and you should like this. And I'm like, I like it.
Yeah, but also you know how much work they're putting into that in the same way that you put the work into your TikToks.
True.
They don't appear like, they don't wake up.
Obviously, if I was like
that, you know?
A 16-year-old skinny blonde girl, then I'd get it automatically, like way more followers because That's not even an issue I want to talk about.
No, we're just not going to the age things.
But
just gloss over that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think people understand the work that goes into TikTok.
Oh, no, 100%.
Like,
no.
I mean, well, as an influencer with one account, like my Green Girl Bella account, like the sex advice, that's actually like, that's pretty chilled. I love doing that content because it's all my own ideas and all my own content. The seven other accounts where I do lots of different shit is where it comes hard because I'm like, what do men find attractive as someone who's not a man? And I'm like, I don't know. I'll make it work.
Yeah. I mean, the last 3 months have been an easy ride. Shake bum.
Stand up, shake bum.
Yeah, it's gone really well so far.
Yeah. I mean, you're doing well from it. So.
Stand up, shake bum. Yeah. I want to do more cosplay. You did cosplay, didn't you? Was it you?
No. That was me.
I thought you would have done cosplay.
I thought about it and then I went, oh, this feels like hard work.
It is hard work.
Not going to do that.
It is really hard work.
Mine's just quite expensive as well.
Yeah. And to do it well as well, like, it's a lot of effort.
Yeah, because we were looking for a body painter for the end of this month. And I was trying to message all my friends that go to like all the cosplay conventions and stuff and be like, do you know anyone? We found someone in the end, but they do really cool stuff. Like, I'd love to just dress up as a different character for a day and just pretend that I'm them. It'd be so fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, go to those like conventions for that.
We do it.
Yeah, well, I just have to wear like a tux when I'll just go Roddy from that. What's that? Flushed away.
That's not like, it's not World Book Day. Like, you have to go.
Character Day at school.
Yeah. No, you've got to like, you've got to do something. Like something like a character from your favourite game or something. You could, I don't know, you could go as like a Bush from COD or something.
Bush?
Yeah. I'll be like, I don't know. I'll do something cool.
I'm actually really impressed that you knew a Bush was from Fortnite. Like the actual
from
thing.
COD.
You said Fortnite.
Did I?
Yeah. But they used to be able to wear a Bush.
Don't ask me games.
I'm actually quite impressed by that.
I've been gaming. Kind of past time. Do you game?
No. I don't have the hand-eye coordination for it.
Neither do I.
So I do that and then I get stressed. And I'm like, this is too stressful for something that's meant to be relaxing. I'm just going to stop.
So I think we should go on to talking about your relationships as a non-binary person. Have you had... So what? Your sexuality is bisexual.
So I actually identify as omnisexual.
That's when you are attracted to anyone?
So it's attracted to all genders, but gender plays a part in how I'm attracted to people. So I'm not attracted to femme people in the same way that I'm attracted to male people, to mask people. It feels different to me.
Mm.
So pansexual would be all genders regardless of gender.
Yep.
And it doesn't kind of play a part. Omnisexual is the same. I'm attracted to everyone, but not in the same way necessarily.
Okay. Yeah, because I went for a phase, not a phase, it's not a phase at all, but where I just identify as bisexual. But I discovered demisexual as a thing, which is obviously means that you can fall in love with anyone.
Mm.
But like, it's their personality. It's not the way that they look. Would you say that it's similar to that? Or, well, it's not similar, but
no,
it's
more that when I'm attracted to a man, like say I'm attracted to a cis man, right? It feels different to the way that I'm attracted to like a cis female because the kind of sex we have is different. I've dated men and women, the relationships that we've had.
Why do
different.
I feel like my sexuality has just changed? Like
every
that,
time
like, that's blown my mind.
Every time I explain this to someone, they've come out as omnisexual afterwards. Literally.
No, because that makes so much sense. Like it's like when I'm with you, I'm like a 1950s housewife that doesn't get hit, obviously.
Yeah.
But like, thanks, it's like I was like
clarifying that.
I like it's very like it's very different. Like, and then when I was with a woman, I was just a fucking train wreck. I was just like, oh my god, I don't know. It was just weird, but like I felt nervous.
Yeah.
And like we're around men, I don't feel nervous.
So when we had Ethan on, because he said as a bisexual man, he had this an equal sexual attraction to male and female, but
he said he prefers having sex with women.
He had a sexual attraction to male, but then not a relationship sort of attraction, like a loving,
yeah, and lots of people are like that.
Yeah.
So some people identify as like bisexual but like hetero romantic or homo romantic.
Oh, I've heard that. Actually, that's what he said, I don't know, can't remember.
So they clarify a difference between like the people that they would fall in love with or that they would have sex with necessarily.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about the omni. sexual thing.
Blown your mind, haven't I?
Yeah. No, see, I think we've all, obviously I've learned so much during this series. It's no shock to anyone on that basis. But with regards to all these terms, so obviously mm-hmm. we've got omni.
This is the plus that we spoke about.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Yeah. I just feel...
Jake's been like, what is the plus? And I'm like, it's a lot of different things. He's like, can you explain it? I'm like...
It's like no. Et It's basically yeah. just like... And, yeah. and everything else.
Yeah, 100... Yeah,
did you see they tried to put paedophiles in the LGBT?
Don't. And I was, like, yeah, let's not.
I was like... like,
because they have a pride yeah. flag.
What?
Yeah, they have a flag that they try to... it's like a pastel-coloured flag. It's paedophiles. It's obviously not an official pride flag.
That has blown my mind.
Yeah.
How can you?
No, but loads of people were trying to put them in with the gays and the gals and the guys.
It's because they argue that it's not a choice, right? They argue right, that.
I mean, to be fair, have you seen those documentaries where people are like openly paedophiles, but they just never done anything about it? I was like, that yeah. takes strength. Like, I'm not defending any paedophile ever, but then if you do sit there for your whole life knowing that you can't help what you're attracted to and you do nothing about it, like,
yeah,
you know.
I feel like it's a whole other episode.
But then yeah, this feels like another yeah. conversation.
But then surely you'd have to do something about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It makes me sick.
As it should.
Yeah. It makes me so sick. It actually gives me like, yeah. you know, when your whole body just like...
shivers.
In it. Like the amount of fucking girls on TikTok. There's a guy called Barrett Powell on TikTok, and he's just accidentally found a child sex ring on Instagram.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And... oh my God, this man has been dragged through hell and back because he accidentally found it. And he's amazing. Like he's done a whole series on finding comments from men on underage girls' videos. Mm. And there are thousands. There are thousands of, and I...
There's a lot of it on TikTok happening.
Like, it's mental.
I don't know if, for some reason I get like mums and toddlers on TikTok sometimes and if you look at like the number of comments and likes versus the number of saves that those videos have they have so many saves,
and people are more worried about people's genders and what they've got in their pants and all that shit, and they're worried about sex workers, and they're worried about girls in bikinis.
Yeah, God forbid our lives.
And they're worried about all of that, and then so they'll be worried about like your gender, your sexuality, what you're wearing, who you are, whether you're sexual, whether you're not sexual, whatever you want to talk about. But they are not worried about posting their kids in a bikini in the back garden.
Yeah.
Like, I've known people to, you know, actually have videos of their kids like half naked on Facebook and
wild.
Shit like that. And I'm like, you guys are concerning yourselves with the wrong issues. Like,
100%.
If you have a child, like when people say to me on TikTok, like, I give them my sex advice, I'm like, they'll be like, there's kids on this app. I'm like, yeah. And I wish I knew about consent when I was a kid, because I didn't. And like, people called me stupid for not knowing about consent. And I was like, well,
we weren't taught it.
I went to a Catholic school. We got told not to have sex.
Yeah, that's what I was taught. Yeah.
So obviously it's a parent problem. If you allow your kids online, monitor them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and when people get more offended about seeing a girl in the bikini, then...
than what we were doing on Tumblr in 2014.
Like, oh my god, if you had Tumblr in 2014,
I'm sorry, I hope you're in therapy.
That's how I met Harley's girlfriend was Tumblr about 15 years ago. Tumblr, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it was a dark time.
Have you seen any of the eating disorder TikToks that are coming up?
I'm not, because I was full in Thinspo Tumblr back in the day.
So like Tumblr used to have everything, but
I just completely missed the whole Tumblr thing.
I feel like you were a little chav.
Like, yeah, I was.
You were like, I was just like a little fucking Grebo that just sat in my bedroom. Like,
I had Bebo.
My Tumblr.
I had Bebo.
All right.
Yeah. I was Twitter.
We're
famous.
More similar age.
Actually, if it gives you an idea, you know, Bebo used to have like the intros, mm-hmm. like, the little bios. Mine was just, you know, like a gun. Made out of like
fucking hell, of course it was, Jake.
Yeah, and I had like two, like, yeah, it was a bad time.
I bet you used to wear bench. You look like
did
you
have
oh
bench.
You
Mackenzie,
yeah, you've got bench written all
you
over
you.
Like
you wore Mackenzie.
Oh, they're the good one.
I bet you had creepers.
Of course I had creepers. Yeah.
No, of course I used to go to Camden all the time. I used to go to Twitter meetups as well.
Yeah, I never did that.
Oh, I did. I was actually full in my prime. I used to go to Tumblr meetups and stuff. That was my prime of the internet. And now I just sell pussy pics. Like, what the fuck is that about? I used to actually, I have thousands of pictures of me on like my old Facebook of like people taking pictures with me, and then me being like, I have no idea who they are. Like, for what? Because I had like a couple of thousand followers on Twitter.
What did you do on Tumblr? I don't understand.
On Tumblr, so you like reblog stuff and you take pictures and like, but the thing is that there was porn, like GIFs and stuff, yeah. And it was great at the time.
Yeah.
That was the first, I think that was the first porn I ever watched. Was like
the
Tumblr.
Thing that I didn't like is that it was, they used to romanticize the film Lolita a lot on Tumblr. And that's about a young girl being sexually groomed by a man, an old man. Mm. But it's written in a way that...
It's written so that you're meant to sympathize with the pedophile.
Yeah.
So it's from his point of view, and you're meant to like.
It's like him being like, "Oh, she did this, and she came to see me today." So
she's like 12.
Yeah, right. She's a 12-year-old, and he's talking about her as if she's like a sexual deviant gremlin, and she's
yeah.
Just
they're
like
she came onto him.
I'm a child. You're like, but people on Tumblr used to eat that shit up, and they'd be like.
Tumblr was a dark place.
Yeah, and then, but I remember one thing explicitly. Like, I'm like, people are like, the internet can damage kids forever. And I'm like, actually, yeah. Because there was one picture that I saw on Tumblr. And I remember, because Tumblr gore was a thing as well. And you see a lot of disgusting stuff on there, like blood, guts, like people being cut. Like, but I saw someone had like sliced their finger, like with little tiny cuts, but they were so deep that if you went like that with the finger, it would just be. And you need a bucket.
No, I'm all right. That was just my visceral response.
My whole body, when I saw that, I didn't sleep for like 2 days. And I'm not really that fussed by gore. But yeah, Tumblr was a rough time. They were like really into like anorexia. Like a lot of people had eating disorders if you had Tumblr. And then it went to Twitter. I used to just tell dad jokes on Twitter.
Bring those back.
Can I?
Yeah, we should bring them back into the brand. Just tell a dad joke a day. Maybe we should open
dad joke of the day.
We'll open the podcast with every episode. You've just got to tell dad.
Everyone
joke.
Just be like, "Oh my god, mermaid!" That's what my Twitter handle was.
Yeah, what was it?
Mermaid. With a three. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
This conversation is just
we have derailed.
We're so far
it's actually
away.
Fine. We spoke a bit about the non-binary situation.
I was actually leading now we're having somewhere a catch up. With the conversation come before we then. Went on to like
try and lead the conversation.
Pedophile movies and
should I play Dom now?
Not on camera, mummy.
all 5'4" of mummy.
Yeah,
I'm 5'5" of daddy. So yeah. Same difference.
No, I think what I was going to say was I think because again I've learned so many things like as I was saying about like omni pansexual and I feel like for obviously where I come from as a mindset being a straight man. I don't feel like a lot of this knowledge is like really sort of pushed out there or public knowledge within the straight community.
No, it's definitely not.
Oh no.
But also like the reason that you were exposed to like gay men and lesbians and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Is because they started putting it in media, in popular media.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you would have been aware of that because it was pushed out, right?
Yeah. Mm. It's like trans is being pushed out right
now. So that's starting to be pushed out. And non-binary is slowly being pushed out. There are non-binary characters in more... TV shows these days not very many gonna add but are some.
I would argue that the majority of things in TV programs are non-binary because they never get referred to as he or she
often like but,
loads
but like bisexual was never mentioned in TV for like years
right? Then people would always kiss and I'd be like them girls are kissing
but they'd flip-flop they
I
just,
see that I like that
like you'd have a character that was like with a man at the beginning of the show and then 3 seasons later they were with a woman but they're never referred to as bisexual they were just now a lesbian and they go back and but that's starting to change, right?
Yeah.
And so I think it's difficult to push because of the nature of the internet and you get into the like the bubble that you exist in. Unless you go searching for it, how are you going to be exposed to people that aren't like you?
It's especially going back to the bubble thing. I think if you don't want to learn, you won't. And
100%.
I think actually sometimes it's not people's fault. That they don't want to learn because there is a lot going on in the world. As I said, I have the For You page that overwhelms me massively and I never want to offend people or hurt people or think, but sometimes my brain just won't function in the fact that I want to learn about something, but I physically can't understand it so much that I just, luckily, I've been around people in a very queer space where I can understand like the whole queer nature and things like that. But like say, if someone asked me to learn like a psychology piece and I'm like I really want to find out about that but I physically can't and I think a lot of people can relate to that but then it's when they're ignorant towards it it's like I'd love to learn about it my brain just can't handle that that's fine but it's the pure ignorance of being like, okay, but like at least respect your pronouns, for example, as the bare minimum, even if you don't get it. And I meet a lot of people who are like that, where they're like, I don't get it, but I will do whatever makes that person comfortable and happy, which is the bare minimum.
Yeah. And also, like, to a certain extent, you're never going to get it right.
Mm.
Like,
no. Yeah.
You're queer, you exist in queer spaces, you still aren't going to know what it's like to not feel like a woman.
No, exactly.
Because
I remember going through a bit of a identity crisis when I was younger, because I always was like a bit of a tomboy, which I reckon that's something that you probably fucking hate, being like, oh, they're just a tomboy. And then it's just like, no. But I remember feeling like I didn't feel like a girl.
Mm.
And I was like, it was just such a weird situation, because it's like, I just wanted to dress like a boy, and I didn't want to have, I have pictures, which I'll put up on the screen. And I used to wear a long baggy t-shirt every day and just a pair of board shorts. And I just didn't want to be perceived or sexualized or anything like that, which I think can be like, obviously probably a thing to do with trauma or sexual assault.
It can also be to do with your ADHD though.
Also. But yeah, it's just like, it's just one of those things. So that's the furthest that I can get into even partly understanding what the whole thing is. But that's the closest that I can ever get to it. But I can never ever say that I understand. Like, I felt what it's like to not feel feminine.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's about it. And I guess you probably have.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Just me, he, him.
My nose just whistled.
Perspective. But I think, yeah, just on the pronoun understanding, I think maybe one reason why it's come up in conversation a lot more on social media, because correct me if I'm wrong, but in terms of, I think Instagram, they introduced pronouns within the last year.
Very recently.
I don't think it was there before. Twitter's done the same. So I think it's starting to be presented to the straight community, I guess. And maybe aren't
you got
educated.
Like Demi Lovato and Trisha Paytas. Trisha Paytas is a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's not even go there.
She's a joke. But
yes, I think what would be really good is, I think we had Johnny do the same. I think I don't know how much of an open question this is going to be, but in terms of, I guess, just an overall sort of understanding of the different pronouns and what they mean for different identifications. Is that a question?
No, it's not a question really.
Yeah, I don't really know how to answer that.
No, because your pronouns are very simple. You're either he, she, they.
Yeah. Or neo pronouns,
yeah. Which obviously a lot of people. Neo pronouns is what people refer to when they say that people are being ridiculous most of the time.
Yeah. Right.
Like when people make jokes about being objects and things like that. Like, neo pronouns are the whatever someone feels comfortable with. So you can be like ZZ.
Yeah, so there are some like quote unquote established neo pronouns.
No, you're fine.
So there are some, yeah. Established neo pronouns in the sense that an insignificant number of people use them, right? So you've got like pronouns as well.
Yeah.
But other people use different pronouns. Some of them, they are ones that they've chosen for themselves, right? And there is a lot of conversation within the queer community as well about neo pronouns. But I think the thing that I want people to know is that the queer conversations that happen online are not the queer conversations that queer people are having in real life, basically ever.
Right.
No.
Queer people do not sit around debating pronouns.
No.
We don't do that. Like, we don't care. Imagine. Beyond like, guys, this is my pronouns.
This is our monthly meeting. We all have to go around and say our pronouns. And if you don't, then you're out of the group.
That's just not something that happens.
Yeah.
It's why are we debating but within ourselves, right? Like, there's no point in doing that.
Because you all know, you know, you're all friends and you're all people. It's like I wouldn't do that. Like sit around with all my friends and just discuss, like, to be fair, I do discuss world debates with my friends.
Oh yeah.
No.
That's
not the same as like debating nuance within your own community, right? If I turned around to all of my friends tomorrow and said, oh, I actually don't go by they them pronouns anymore. I want to use it is.
Yeah.
It's right.
Yeah.
They'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'd be like, okay, cool. We might slip up, but yeah, cool. And I'd be like, yeah, sure. And that is the extent of the conversation that it would be, because no one would argue back at me.
Because you're other queer people wouldn't argue back at me. Nah. They're like, they're not a friend, but like, nah.
I find queer discourse online very confusing for that reason, because it's just not what it is in real life at all. Yeah,
because every time I've spoken to anyone who's queer, like, and I've been in a lot of queer spaces, I'm just like, nobody talks about anything that's online.
Please go to a queer space. I promise you, it'll be very
different. They're all so friendly, and like, they might have really big strap-ons. So the one thing I've been asking everyone within this series is that as a non-binary person, obviously not everyone's non-binary, you're the non-binary person, is there anything that you would like to tell yourself pre-coming out, or any advice that you want to give to anyone?
Yeah, I'd say like, take the time to think about it, right? You don't have to rush any of it. You also don't have to like physically do anything to transition if you do come to the conclusion that you are non-binary or anything under that umbrella. It can change, right? I debate with myself probably every couple of months whether I'm actually a trans man, right? And I keep going back to no, but I'm still going to have those debates with myself. And I'm not going to sit here and say in 10 years time I might not be.
Yeah.
It can change and flow, and that's not you being disingenuous with yourself. That's not you, it's not a phase either. It's just the point that you are in your gender. So it's fine. Do what feels right for you. If you don't even have to come out either. I think people put too much onus on coming out publicly, or even to family and friends, and you don't have to if you don't want to. Like, you really don't.
Nobody's entitled to it. I mean, no. Just quickly touching on the whole phase thing, that's one thing that I have wanted to say in the last couple of episodes, is that when people talk about the phase of doing anything, like, you don't expect someone to wear the same hairstyle that they did 10 years ago. So why would you expect them to be exactly the same person that they were? Yeah. You know, it's never a phase. Whatever you're going through, it is literally just a point in your life, and that's the way that you feel. So yeah, that was the non-binary episode. And
as always, learn a lot.
So at the end of every episode, we say have fun, stay safe, and always get consent. You have one line from that. What would you like?
What do I want? I think I need to take always get consent.
You're the first person that said always get consent.
That feels important.
Cool. So I'll say have fun.
Okay.
And as always, have fun.
Stay safe.
And always get consent.
Yee.
Oh yeah.
Do you like it?
Have fun, stay safe, and always get consent.
Two Night Stand, baby.